Welcome to Season 3 of I Know, Do You? This season's hosts are Bradford and Brian Manning, who you may also know as the Two Blind Brothers. Bradford and Brian are known for their relentless advocacy and charitable work in the IRD community. This includes their clothing company, Two Blind Brothers, which donates 100% of all profits to support medical research efforts. Join the brothers as they explore genetic testing for inherited retinal diseases through both story and science. Spark Therapeutics is proud to sponsor I Know, Do You? And happy to welcome Bradford and Brian to the show.
Welcome, welcome to episode number 4 of I Know, Do You? The podcast where we learn everything we can about genetic testing, everything from the patient experience to the genetic counselors. We have a very, very special guest today. Ken Goetz, the founder of SysScrip. I was trying to make sure I could nail the acronym, the Center for Information and Study for Clinical Research Participation. How did I do?
You nailed it, Bradford. That was great. And I think that's probably the best first pronunciation I've ever heard for what is virtually unpronounceable SysScrip. Really my pleasure to be here with you guys today.
So maybe just to start off, do you want to maybe just give us some background on SysScrip?
Absolutely. It's about a 20-year-old nonprofit that I founded to really provide education and outreach to patients and the public to really help people navigate the clinical research process. Clinical research really happens in the background or on the periphery. And it's really only after you've been diagnosed with a disease or you're dealing with an illness for which a treatment isn't working that you start considering clinical research. And that's really where SysScrip can help. So we have a lot of educational programs, some live events, some are just a digital, a video, and other content that we make available. We try to really help in a variety of ways so that patients and their families can navigate the whole clinical research terrain.
You know, the thing that gets Brian and I really, really excited is the fact that medicine is moving so quickly. It's a medical revolution. And the clinical trial, that is the gateway to get this exciting science into therapies.
It's been literally more than doubling in terms of the number of active therapies every 15 years or so. So it's incredibly vibrant. And I think where you are going with this, Bradford, we don't have new treatments without people participating in these clinical trials.
Mm-hmm. We heard about, from a personal perspective, getting diagnosed, then have a family member diagnosed, and then how to go get genetically tested, what it means to get genetically tested, how to understand what that looks like and the benefits of that. But one of the biggest benefits is a clinical trial popping up that can actually help you.
In particular, just, you know, in the inherited retinal disease space, it's becoming a more commonplace thing to get gene tested. On the trials that sort of center around enrollment for people who have a specific gene identified in the eye or otherwise, is that an avenue of science that we're seeing progression and success in?
So, you know, I'm aware of the growth in the number of active studies in inherited retinal diseases. I think at last count, there were some 60 plus active clinical trials. The good news is that more trials are being done remotely now and virtually.
How do I find a clinical trial?
So there are lots of approaches that people take. The most common are either a search that you'll do yourself, and people usually start with publicly available websites like centerwatch.com, for example, and there are others where you can do a search as well. And just typing in the name of your disease and your zip code is usually enough to at least register or list a few different locations. They may still be relatively far away, but it starts to help you identify regional places where there may be an active trial.
I imagine, you know, in the clinical trial space, I mean, you have everything from life-saving cancer therapies to, you know, maybe changes in procedures. And so The idea that there's a team of researchers and a company that's come together that has discovered something that can, for the rest of someone's life, increase their quality of life, extend their life. And I imagine when you get to see the benefit that these patients got, I would love to be in some of the rooms when that data comes back, because I imagine it's emotional and a great achievement for these companies that take a lot of risk to do these trials, financial risk and their careers and everything sort of rolled up in that. But I imagine when it works out, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, what a powerful comment, and it is so true. These are often people who've given 10, 15 years of their life to a single investigational drug, and you're right, it is so emotional. It's interesting, you know, we talked a little bit about risk and how people go through this kind of journey, right? Initially, you're focusing on the safety of the treatment, the investigational treatment, but there you start to move more to understanding the risk of your own personal involvement in the study and how it might impact the burden of disease and your regular life. The benefits go in the same way, right? The earliest perceived benefit might be hope, right? Gaining access to something that's never been tried before, access to a research team, people who've been studying my disease for a long time and might have real insight for me. That's sort of the initial benefit wave. And then often people realize that the immediate or short-term benefits may not be as strong as I had initially hoped. But what is learned from this will incrementally benefit everyone who's dealing with my disease. And that becomes, over time, the overpowering reason why people stick with this.
I think that's something that's extraordinary and extraordinarily powerful, is by entering into one of these clinical trials, not only can you selfishly hope that you're going to have whatever disease that you suffer from assisted, and you're going to be able to get benefit from this trial, but every person that has gone through all of the same trials and tribulations that you have because of this disease that are coming behind you are going to be in a better place because of the work that you did. And that is such an amazing, frankly, gift you're giving to an immeasurable amount of people that know all of the suffering that you went through because of your disease, and that maybe because of you won't have to do that. I mean, that is just one of the greatest things you could ever do for anybody. And I love that you talked about it as altruism, because that's truly what it is.
It's the ultimate act, and you actually just described the title of my book, The Gift of Participation. You described the whole focus of the book is trying to reorient everyone's thinking about clinical research, exactly as you said, because it is truly a gift. And it's not just a gift in terms of finding a drug that works. It's also a gift when we learn that a drug doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. Because now we know that that is a treatment pathway where we shouldn't be investing a lot of dollars and time. So everything we learn in a clinical trial matters, and every patient who participates in a study is really doing something incredibly profound by giving that gift. It's the thing that makes me the most passionate about clinical research. And I wanted to mention something that I wanted you guys to think about, the patient engagement movement. About 10 years ago, we started to see the FDA and the European Medicines Agency and some of the pharmaceutical and biotech companies look for new and additional ways for patients to be engaged in the clinical research process. And it started with patients in rare disease communities saying, we want to define a clinically meaningful outcome. We don't think that the outcomes that the scientists have defined are necessarily the ones that matter to us. So a lot of patient communities have stepped forward and they've sort of articulated what the endpoints should be in the protocols. And now we're seeing even more patient communities get involved. We see patients that are involved in helping companies write the informed consent form. So it speaks a language that patients understand. So there's so many ways that people can get involved, even if they don't qualify for a trial. they can help sort of shape this process. And that's another really exciting period that we're in the clinical research world.
That's a great point. Brian and I work closely with the Foundation Fighting Blindness, and I know one of their big initiatives is having people get gene tested, because even if their gene comes back without a treatment, they're at least identifying themselves as part of that population.
The whole patient engagement movement is one that has been really exciting. We don't have a clinical research enterprise without patients as an integral partner in the process. And that has really created such an incredible momentum and passion for what we do.
You know, I'm just thinking as a patient that's considering a clinical trial, maybe I'm not 100% confident on my ability to interpret the science or to interpret whether I'm a good candidate, even though the company's saying that I'm a candidate.
Once you contact a research center, they often will have like a backgrounder, something they can send you that might have a little bit of information about what's been learned about the investigational therapy so far, perhaps what were some of the results of animal testing if it's an early stage study. It might even include a synopsis or a summary of the protocol. And that's a great place to begin with your own physician and your family members. The first conversations are always about the research and the science. What's the purpose of the study? What's going to be learned from this? What's expected of you if you participate? What kind of procedures will be performed? So often the questions that are asked really run such a wide range, beginning with the science, but then getting into the logistics. And do you like the research staff? And do you trust the people you've been dealing with? And a whole host of things. You have to be comfortable with everything before you make the decision to ultimately participate in the trial.
So, Ken, do you have a favorite story that really invigorates you over the last 20 years?
Yeah, thank you for asking. What excites me more than anything else is just seeing the growth and the reputation of Syscript and the people that are here, the incredible passion that people have. You know, almost everyone who is part of Syscript knew nothing about clinical research before they started, and then they sort of learned sort of the Syscript story and became committed to it. You know, it's the creative people who've come up with commercials, public service announcements that are just so creative. We have one called the MT Pharmacy, which you can watch on YouTube, and I just encourage anyone to see it. All these novel ways that we're really educating the public to think differently about clinical research. So I'm just so incredibly energized and amazed at the people here and all that they do, all the creative passion they bring to what we're doing. The sky is the limit in terms of the ways that we're trying to help people understand the importance and of clinical research and the important role that they can play as well.
Well, that is a great note. Maybe we should just end on that. We really, really appreciate it. And I love the vantage point that you have at Syscript, watching the evolution of this space, watching the pace of medicine, making sure that the patients are, informed, but also at the same time, encouraging and empowering the patient community to consider clinical trials if it's right for them. It's a really, really special thing. And there are patients all over the world with their different rare diseases that will have clinical trials.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Hats off to the two of you for doing this. It was a real pleasure being part of this podcast with you.
This is the end of an era, Bradford. This is episode 4 of a 4-arc series, and it has been one of the most profound privileges getting to talk to some of the most amazing people in the world and sharing or demystifying, frankly, some of the ideas of genetic counseling, getting genetically tested, what it's like to go through a clinical trial. We hope that you go and get genetically tested so you can be empowered, informed, and as Ken said earlier, get into one of these trials to help yourself, but just as importantly, to help the next generations of people coming.
I just want to thank everyone, thank the listeners, and express how appreciative I am. That concludes episode number 4 with Ken Getz. Thank you so much. This is Bradford and Brian Manning signing off.
Thank you for listening to I Know, Do You? A podcast that discusses life with inherited retinal disease and the importance of genetic testing. You can find information about no-cost genetic testing as well as more stories from the inherited retinal disease community at iwanttoknow.com. If you enjoyed I Know, Do You? Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Spark Therapeutics sponsors iwanttoknow.com and the I Know, Do You? Podcast. Bradford and Brian Manning were compensated for their time and services for this podcast. We also want to thank each of our guests for taking the time to share their stories and knowledge.